This morning, as we begin our stewardship season, I've asked Tal, one of the members of our stewardship committee, to share with us the ministry minute. So please be seated.
This morning when I did this at 8 o'clock, I got to do it from the floor, but this is pretty cool. I feel tall. When the stewardship committee was thinking about kicking off this program, we thought, what better way than to ask everyone, why do we matter? What would excite Jesus about this place, about St. Thomas? And I'm sure you all got these mysterious little blue cards in your programs last week asking, in your mind, what would excite Jesus? What would make him say, wow, if he showed up here today? For me, I think of the words of Matthew 25, where Jesus says, whoever does this to the least of these is doing it to me, feeding the poor, clothing the naked, visiting the sick, helping the homeless. St. Thomas, we do a lot of that. We have Kitchen of Hope, where we feed the poor. We house homeless. We've been doing this for a number of years, and that's really important to me, and I think that would excite Jesus. A specific incident from the Family Promise Ministry always comes to mind when I think of the importance of doing this. Back the first year we were hosting, 2006, late in the week, we had one of the guests, a woman, came up to one of our volunteers and was saying, you know, I always thought Christians were hypocrites, you know, a lot of words, and then when I saw you, you know, caring for people and caring for me, helping me, I realized, wow, this is something special. This is what it's supposed to be about. And she said, I'm now interested, you know, I think I'm going to go back to church based on what I've seen Christians doing in action. She probably went and became a Presbyterian or a Baptist or something, but, you know. Point being is, we're not a social service agency. We are God's hands and feet in the world, and this was a perfect example of being those hands and feet and how that witness affected someone, both by meeting their needs, but also by touching their spirit. That all takes resources, to have this building, to have the lights, to be able to afford the food, to afford the priest to lead us. It all costs money, and so this is the beginning of stewardship month, really stewardship month and a half, where we really ask for the support of the congregation. Being the place that might make Jesus say, wow, if he stepped into here today, requires our resources and requires the participation of everyone. So over the next month or so, I would ask you to prayerfully consider the stewardship material you're going to be getting in the mail soon, and help keep this place a place that Jesus would be excited about. Thank you.
Thank you, Tal. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So, this morning we heard the gospel of the Lord. And of course, gospel means good news. So, as we read about Jesus and the Pharisees and divorce, did that sound like good news to you? Seeing a kind of a, yeah, I hear a no. Too many people hear that passage as condemnation and not as good news. And so my original plan for today's homily was to speak about stewardship. Does that sound like good news to you? Too many people feel more guilt than joy around the idea of stewardship as well. So, I want to talk about stewardship in a couple minutes, but I can't ignore what we read in the gospel. It touches too many lives. So first, I want to take a look at what Jesus said around the idea of divorce and try to give it a little more context. And then, because everything is connected, we're going to make a lovely segue into talking about stewardship. Both of these topics are good news. They are not about guilt. They are about healing. They are about liberation. They are about joy. So let's start with what was this discussion about divorce. So divorce itself is, near as I can figure, always an unhappy circumstance. Right? It's not what two people were dreaming of when they got married, is it? The dream is of a lifelong relationship of ever-deepening love and affection. Frequently, that doesn't work out. Sometimes, it ends badly. Usually, a legal divorce is simply the recognition that a relationship has already ended for whatever reason. Sometimes, marriages are broken by bad choices, by drinking or drugs or infidelity or abuse. Sometimes, marriages are broken by tragedy. Sometimes, by incompetence. Sometimes, marriages are broken by accident. But when a marriage ends badly, with hurt feelings and anger, things can go poorly for the more vulnerable spouse. An ex-spouse may feel jealous, or possessive, or vindictive. In the world of Moses, remember the Pharisees and Jesus are talking about the law of Moses, in the world of Moses, a world where a woman's testimony was not taken seriously. In the world of Moses, women were without recourse if a husband turned her out, refused to support her or her children, and also refused to let her move on by threatening to accuse her of adultery if she married someone else. That was a stoning offense. And so Moses required a certificate of divorce be given to that woman so that she could have certainty and proof in her husband's own handwriting that she could move on with her life, that he no longer had any claim over her person, that she could go about the business of recovering from a failed relationship. The good news of the book of Deuteronomy is that Moses sought to bring a measure of justice and liberation to women who were living in a man's world. So it's easy to hear the outrage in Jesus' voice as he responds to the Pharisees' question. Men are taking a law that was meant to protect women and children, and they're making a mockery of it. They're mocking the very intent of God by turning that law into a get-out-of-marriage-free card. And so Jesus responds powerfully to the Pharisees by citing the context and the foundation on which Moses' law is based. God's intention for creation includes relationships of love and respect between human beings. What Jesus decries here is not divorce per se. Jesus acknowledges that the Pharisees are correct when they say, yeah, divorce happens. Jesus acknowledges that Moses wrote laws that countenanced divorce. What Moses did was he wrote laws to regulate divorce and to bring some minimal measure of fairness. The sin that Jesus condemns is those who would use the very law of God to do evil, those who would use God's law to hurt rather than to heal. Those who would hide behind God's law as an excuse to do wrong, abusing and abandoning the very persons that law was meant to protect. Jesus is saying that marriage isn't meant to be something to be exploited. It's not something that the smart man or the smart woman puts in the minimal investment and then extracts the maximum possible value. A marriage is not a 50-50 arrangement. It is only by bringing one's whole self that one might plumb the depths and the riches of a marriage relationship. To be a good steward of a relationship is not to be looking for the easy way out. Instead, it is to bring our A game, to bring it our all, with all the courage and the vulnerability that that entails. So, stewardship. I told you we'd get here. Stewardship is to nurture something that has been entrusted into your care. like a relationship, like a cultural heritage, like a family business, like a church. When we talk about stewardship at church, we often talk about money. And that's okay as far as it goes, but it's not the whole truth. When we talk about stewardship here at St. Thomas, there are two things you need to understand. Number one is that stewardship is about drawing closer to God. Do you remember how Jesus talks about how a person is unable to serve both God and money? Jesus actually talks a lot about money. Stewardship is about liberation from the fear and the anxiety and the sense of scarcity that come from seeing money as the source of our comfort and safety and security and well-being. When we look to money for those things that God promises, we become blind to God's own provision. But the resources that make our lives whole and complete and good are not scarce. They have their source in the true and living God, the one who makes plenty out of little and who makes order out of chaos. And so stewardship is about becoming clear on the role of money in our lives and drawing closer to the God who is able to care for us. So let me say this again. Number one, stewardship is about ensuring that we fear God, not money. That money is our servant, not our master. That money is a tool that we use to draw closer to God and not a barrier that prevents us from fully trusting God. Now, number two is that stewardship is about empowering the mission and ministry of our parish. What, you might ask, is the mission and ministry of our parish? Well, St. Thomas is a church. And to be a church means that our mission is God's mission, right? We are about the mission of God. And the mission of God is to reconcile all people and all things to God's self. So what does it look like for us to participate in God's reconciling mission? Well, it means nurturing relationships with one another. We encounter God in each other and draw closer to God in our care for one another. It means welcoming people who come among us. Every week, there are new people here at St. Thomas. They walk in their doors of their own volition, seeking God not in a building, but in a community. It means that recognizing that right now there are 1,500 students directly across the street from our campus looking over our shoulders as we worship. They are closer to St. Thomas than they are to their student center or their library or half their classes. Now, maybe we didn't ask for it, although I hear you praying every week, "Thy will be done." God has transformed St. Thomas right under our noses into a college church. Right next door to the college bar. Right behind the college drugstore. Right in the middle of a growing college town. We have something important and life-giving to offer the students, faculty, and staff of Rowan University. We can make a difference in the lives of generations of students, if only we will have the courage to dream the dreams of God. Number two, stewardship is about the mission of God, which is to reconcile all people and all things to God's self. So there you go. Divorce, stewardship. Jesus calls out the good in both these things. Now, in case it wasn't yet clear to you, I want to point out that today is the beginning of St. Thomas' annual pledge campaign. This week, most of you will be receiving cards like this in the mail. If you don't, it's only because I don't have your address. And these cards are inviting you to make a commitment to the mission of God in this place, as expressed through the ministry of St. Thomas Episcopal Church. These pledge cards are certificates of divorce, officially signifying that you are free from being controlled by money and scarcity. That's good news. These cards signify that money now serves your purposes, not you its. Money is a tool for you to use to draw closer to God. It is your pledges that create the welcoming context in which we gather to worship, to make music, to baptize, to bury our dead, and very frequently to eat together. It is your pledges that create a safe and welcoming space for Kitchen of Hope, for IHN, where we can welcome strangers to come among us and issue invitations to those who do not yet know us or our Lord. Over the next few weeks, we're going to be talking about pledging, and for our stewardship campaign this year, we have three principal goals. One is 100% participation. This means you. Two is proportional giving. And three is giving first. So I'm going to talk about each of these things over the next few weeks. And just like this morning, we're going to have a ministry minute, a special speaker each week from our excellent stewardship committee. I urge you to consider prayerfully your giving to St. Thomas, and to declare your intentions on a pledge card. You can mail in the card. You can put it in the offering plate any Sunday in October or November. Only the pledge secretary and myself will see the actual amount that you pledge, but the vestry and the finance committee will use the sum of those pledges to more accurately discern how God is calling St. Thomas to ministry and mission in the coming year. St. Thomas Episcopal Church is not something to be exploited, something where the smart man or woman would make the minimum possible investment while extracting the maximum possible value. A church is not a 50-50 arrangement where each person's called to give just a little bit. It is only by bringing our whole self that we can plumb the depth of the riches of church. To be a good steward of church is not to be looking for the easy way out, the minimum pledge, but instead it is to make a commitment to give proportionally and to give first. It is to bring our A game, to bring it our all, with all the courage and the vulnerability that entails. This is the invitation to stewardship.